recognize and celebrate the robotics team, the Blue Chariots of Fire. This team of young people and adult advisors has spent seemingly countless hours in designing and building and testing their robot for competition. And we concluded we couldn't figure out how many hours that would have been. They then spent additional time in practicing and fine-tuning their machine. Then came competition time in which they successfully qualified for the statewide event, which is quite an accomplishment. But, you know, the finished product and results did not happen just overnight. Believe it or not, it is the result of years and even centuries of development. Modern-day technology has not come into being as a result of one generation or one invention. It started with the earliest form of mankind as it discovered ways in which to survive and become more self-sufficient. One discovery and one learning experience became the building block upon which future discoveries and future learning were based. With each generation and each century, mankind became more sophisticated and advanced in its discoveries and knowledge. This was accomplished by taking the foundation of knowledge and discoveries of the past and expanding them until they have resulted into the robot of the Blue Chariots of Fire. If we ever come to the point of saying, I know it all, live on our laurels of the past, and go no further than life comes to a dead-end street, there is little to live for. The robot of this year will never be able to compete in the challenges of next year. To live just in and for the past is to live in a hopeless state. Education then becomes only an endeavor unto itself, which preserves the past and not be open to the foundation for the future. You know, a good example of this can be found in our gospel lesson this morning. Nicodemus was a highly educated man, a man of privilege and prestige. He was a Pharisee, which meant that he had committed his life to not only being educated in the Mosaic laws, but to live according to all aspects of these laws. The law was what the Pharisees lived for and lived by. It was through the law that they thought they would find favor in God's sight. He was not only a Pharisee, but his education and prestige led him to be a member of the highest governing body of the Jewish society, the Sanhedrin. Therefore, in all of this, you could say that Nicodemus' education was supreme in his life. And anything outside of that education had little meaning or even a lesser chance of ever penetrating his life. So we are told that Nicodemus came to this man Jesus one night to engage in a conversation. Now, his motivation was unclear. He could have been set by the Sanhedrin in order to find incriminating evidence against Jesus. On the other hand, he could have come to Jesus out of curiosity, since he had known or heard of his many miraculous deeds. Coming at night meant that he was fearful of being seen in Jesus' presence. Well, it could have meant that. Or it could have been that the traditional with rabbis would be that you taught at night, where there were few distractions. Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. No one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. We know that. Jesus, of course, knew who had come to him. He knew that this man lived under his educated life in the law. He knew that there was very little flexibility of learning for the future in that. He knew that outside of the law there was no life for Nicodemus. Jesus had come with a whole new message as to what life was and what comprised God's relationship to man. This relationship was well beyond the law, which Nicodemus understood and lived. And Jesus' response was to Nicodemus, "So very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Now what Jesus was saying is that Nicodemus had to totally change his life and open up his educational experiences to make way to a new understanding of his relationship with God. It was as if he had to expand upon his present knowledge, his present life, and take on a new life, an understanding. And that was like being born anew. A law-centered life had now led him to this new knowledge. It was the foundation upon which this new life would evolve. But it would not be the new life, the foundation of it. Nicodemus acted, though, as he didn't understand the concept that Jesus was saying to him. Even after giving Nicodemus an earthly illustration of the wind and spirit, he still questioned Jesus. Jesus, now how can this be? His stance of being stuck in his thinking and knowledge would not allow him to understand, so he took the literal meaning of the physical birth. But doing this, he was protecting his so-called educated life. The new message was being blocked by his stilted education. The irony of the situation was that he, as a learned Jew, should have totally and fully understand what Jesus was saying. For he knew. He knew the prophet Ezekiel clearly made reference to a new spirit which must change life. For Ezekiel wrote, "Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed against me, and get yourself a new spirit, a new heart." And then again Ezekiel said, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. From all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." You know, Ezekiel's words were very familiar to every Jew. For they knew it as the rebirth of a non-Jew when they became a Jew. These were the words. And Jesus acknowledged this fact of Judaism and confronted Nicodemus with it. Now look, Nicodemus, come on. Are you not a teacher of Israel? And yet you do not understand these things? Come on now. The fact is, Nicodemus was well aware of what Jesus was saying, but his stilted, educated life would not allow him to acknowledge any new understanding. He heard what he wanted to hear. His education was not reinforced by it. His life was too comfortable to entertain any kind of notion to change. Well, what do you mean by that? He had placed all his eggs in the basket of the limited intellectual pursuits which controlled his life. There was no way that he was going to change all that. He had made his relationship with God as a pursuit of intellectual integrity, the pursuit of maintaining a stilted education and of knowledge. That has become his God. There was no breaking through this mindset with Nicodemus. His frozen, educated life blocked out any change to his life. So Jesus reiterated what was going on and gave the outcome of Nicodemus' decision of blocking any change. Nicodemus, very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? You know, it's so easy to fall into the trap which Nicodemus lived. I guess many see Christianity as a pursuit of learning and education of the past as an end-all in life. Theological and biblical intellectual exercises become the essence of what Christianity is. This education never seems to assimilate into life and become an ever-developing way of life. It brings no sense of change brought about by the learning experiences of God's continuing revelation to us. And on the other end, there are those who have just relied upon a childhood biblical education and find that sufficient. Both extremes block the pursuit of gaining change and new life. One may block such change because it jeopardizes the secure and safe world of the intellect, the ivory tower existence. Just because we have knowledge does not mean that we believe it and grow into living the future. And the future challenges. In the other extreme, blockage comes from being threatened to go beyond the naive world of childhood life. Belief then has little or no substance and can easily fail. Both let a frozen education interfere with the life experience of the message of Jesus. A new life. A rebirth, so to speak, comes when we know are open to continual learning and experience life in light of all of God's revelation, both past, present, and future. It is then that our lives not only understand, but live those most quoted words of the New Testament. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. This was well beyond the life of Nicodemus, and just maybe well beyond many, for it takes a leap of faith over the earthly experiences of the stilted, educated mind in order to have such a belief. This love of God goes far beyond any law which is fulfilled through condemnation, the law which Nicodemus lived. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. It is this good news which we do not want to block out of our lives, but which we want to experience. It is up to us to reevaluate our lives to avoid those things which may interfere with the new life which comes through Jesus. Then we will know what Christianity is all about. For it will become our life, our past, present, and future. We will be open to the new, ever-growing revelations of God. That's what it's all about. Amen.